Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Sorry about my phone going off. It was my mother.
Ah, all right.
My mother was calling me and telling me I have to talk to her because I'm her son, and I wanted to say, I'm here, I'm working, I'm recording the podcast, ma'am. Here we are.
Yes.
What's new?
We have a lot on our mind right now, here this week. In a few days, at least here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, a gradual start to public celebrations on Sundays. But I hope that listeners and others would know this, but liturgy just doesn't happen. You know, you may show up and it seems to happen, but it's a lot of work, a lot of energy, and a lot of details. And especially here, too, where we have some restrictions and things we've got to keep in mind. So it's been a lot of work. I assume the same for you.
A lot of meetings and a lot of emotion for... You know, some things that are normally not controversial have become controversial. But at Sacred Heart, I'm happy to say that people have thought about whether or not they had to come. And people, thanks to the dispensation from Sunday obligation until July 5th, people can make decisions freely. And I think that has been one of the good points all through this. I'll be happy to see people, to see parishioners that I haven't seen in a long time. We've done some things at Sacred Heart that had got me to know people that I knew the name, but I didn't know much about them, and I know some more now, and I'm very, very happy to see them again. That's true.
Yeah, I'm really eager to see some faces. Of course, won't see all that for the first few weeks or maybe for some time, but yeah, really eager to see them. And as I wrote to my parishioners a few weeks ago, perhaps with a few extra pounds, and also your true hair colors finally revealed, your beautiful true hair colors. From not being able to go to a salon or barber or wherever.
Speaking of hair, you can make fun about the rest of us because that's not a problem for you, but you can see my...
This has been great for me. I've got a quickly receding hairline these last years, and so I've been able to take care of it myself. In fact, I'm a little tempted to maybe even ever go back to a barber.
Said that last time. So here, this weekend, it's Pentecost. It's a great feast, the end of Easter. Pentecost was a Jewish feast, was 50 days after Passover, and that's how we have used in the Gospels. That's the timeline they use, and that's the reason why Penta means 50 in Greek. And that's why we call it Pentecost, which is a Jewish feast again. It's very interesting to say that we have two Gospels almost. Again, as we've said before, the first reading from Acts explains the Pentecost one way, and then John's Gospel, which we are going to read in a minute, explains Pentecost according to John's tradition. We're going to be reading from chapter 20, verses 19 to 23.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. Quick footnote before we discuss this, the readings on Saturday nights are vigil readings for Pentecost and are different, related but different. So it's possible you're going to hear different readings this weekend, depending on the choice that's made.
I would argue that you could also read the Sunday reading on Saturday evening, which is what many parishes end up doing.
I think you can. I don't know what parishes do, but I think you can do that as well. But like Ascension last week, as you noted, this is one of those situations where the first reading and the gospel are kind of recounting from different perspectives the very same thing. Luke's gospel, in essence, in Acts of the Apostles, and here the gospel of John. And I want to just point out a line from the Acts of the Apostles, which I find so powerful as we think about Pentecost, and in fact, coming back in some way to celebrations. But the first line of Acts is, when the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And I just have always really found that a profound image of thought and of prayer, of being together, of in one room together, which doesn't mean physically together necessarily. All in one place together means of the same mind behind Jesus Christ and of the same spirit and the same sentiments. And I think that's so important too, whether we're together, have been together in public gatherings or not, really we're in one place together. And I think Pentecost is a wonderful opportunity to reflect on, it's a gift when we're physically together, but we're all in one room together, all around the globe, all around the world, wherever we are in a broader sense. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and especially it's a challenging thought, not only because of the pandemic situation, but in the last few years, we've become a very divided society. And yes, Pentecost is a call for people to focus on what unites us more than what divides us, and I think it's a good point. What I like about the Acts of the Apostles is that if you read carefully, you will see that first Pentecost is only the first one. That there are a number of times where the Holy Spirit needs to come and shake the foundation of the house. It happens more than once, and maybe that's true all through life. Sometimes we need more than one Pentecost, and that's maybe why we need to celebrate this every year. And the Holy Spirit will always be a shaking of convention, a shaking up of attitude, of spirit, you know? And that's why I like this feast so much.
It's so significant, you know, in the church should be considered up along with Easter and with Christmas. And I don't think we quite appreciate that in the same way. But if you look at the sequence of the Easter Gospels as well, I mentioned this last week or a few weeks ago, but, you know, about halfway through the Easter season, the Gospels shift from these kind of appearances of the post-resurrection Jesus to a preparation for Pentecost.
It's because
Jesus.
You run out of appearances also. Sorry.
But it's, you know, especially in John's Gospel, it's Jesus preparing his apostles, preparing the disciples for the coming of the Holy Spirit, because it's so important. And really, to reaffirm what you say, it's so important that it almost has to be not repeated, but it happens in different ways and repeatedly, in a sense. That's the best word I can use at the moment.
In the first reading from Acts, when, you know, it's the one about the tongues of fire and everybody can understand the disciples. And I always thought that was an amazing statement also, that the church is invited through the mission leading spirit to be understood by everyone, to be able to go everywhere and to be able to communicate at least. You may agree or disagree, but that we would speak of Jesus in such a way that everybody could understand us. I think that's what it always meant. And in John's Gospel, I'm always very curious about receive the Holy Spirit and this insistence on forgiveness of sins, which will be one of the trademarks of the risen Christ, as we have seen. This insistence on forgiveness as a constant statement that Jesus makes.
Peace be with you. that concept of peace, again, especially during this time right now that we're living through, it's important to appreciate that Jesus is speaking of something much deeper than I think we often come to. I know I can fall into temptation of it's like an emotion or a feeling, but there's something really deep here. And again, I go back to that preparation. Jesus has been kind of preparing his disciples to hear these words, but especially peace be with you. There's something deep in that. It goes to that concept of trust, of a trust in God. And what's hard is when we don't have a sense of control, which is what I think we've kind of lived through in many ways. Hopefully it's been an opportunity to reflect on where am I struggling with trust, or where can that be strengthened? Yeah, really a beautiful reading. Anything else that stands out to you in particular?
It's the if the ascension was These two Sundays in a row where there is an insistence on mission, I think that's what I would like to probably say.
Yeah.
And there is rejoicing, there is this fulfillment of a promise and how many promises Jesus makes. And he makes the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes. At Sacred Heart, we have a mission statement that it was very long, and now it's very short. We say we are a community of the Spirit, where we make and grow disciples of Jesus. What does it mean to be a community of the Spirit? How would you see it from the outside? And maybe you could go to these two readings, first reading and gospel, and see what features of a community of the Spirit you see there. A peaceful community, but one where peace is not at any price, but a real peace. A community where there is forgiveness. A community where everybody understands each other, which doesn't mean that you agree. It means that at least you speak the same language. I think I want to preach about that.
Mm-hmm. We hope appreciate that we're these people in this room here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see maybe the closest experience of Jesus Christ present to disciples, it's right here, and we're that same community. Like we're here now with the power of the Holy Spirit. The only difference is the passage of a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could go back a little earlier into the Gospels and say, okay, well, I didn't quite witness this miracle. I need to sort of pray about this and appreciate this in a particular way to be present. But here, really, we are the disciples in this room, and
mm-hmm.
There's the only difference between the last line of this Gospel and us here in the year 2020 is just the passage of a number of years. It goes back to mission. I want to say it goes back to mission. This is the birth of the church and the mission of the church, which we're all called to right at this moment. This is very relevant to us.
I think so. I agree. And I think that's the case for many, for the cross. It's the point of the nativity. It's the point of everything. So
right.
To realize that we are disciples of Jesus, that's why our mission statement is so great.
Exactly. Well, so we'll continue to pray about this. It was good to talk. And yeah, good luck at your parish as you look forward to this weekend.
And I hope we find a way that, how do you keep everybody happy? That's impossible. It will take a lot of patience from many people. So I pray that this will happen all around the Archdiocese. But I pray that it will go well.
Good. Well, how about we get together next week and we chat a little more?
Next week, and it will be what?
Yeah, it's going to be Trinity Sunday, and also that's the beginning of Ordinary Time, this big long stretch of Ordinary Time through summer into Advent. So
we have the Feast of Pentecost, then we have the Holy Trinity, and then we have Corpus Christi.
Yeah, the Body and Blood of Christ.
So see you soon, Philip.
All right, have a good day.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees, available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.